You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
Yeah, it's the world famous, huh? How about that, huh? Some of that street, yeah, that's N.W.A. N.W., was that the movie? They,
Straight Outta Compton. That's from a movie that's from, that's an old song, or it's an old,
you call that a song, well, I guess.
You know, General, you've got to really understand, this is a...
Either please don't lecture me on the contemporary sound. I understand that. You know, I had, kids and grandkids and so forth and so on. But you must reserve for me. Now, General, wait a second, Dickman. Don't you weigh in, because then we'll have, you know, then there might be blood.
All right, take it easy. Take it easy, because we do have a show to get into.
Yes, I'll be with you in a minute. I'm just saying, you know what, I forgot, and I blame you, and you, all of you out there.
Yeah. All right, welcome to the show.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
What did you want to say?
Now, turn it down. I was going to say, I don't need Margaret explaining everything to me.
I don't think you need everything explained to you, but you were saying, oh, this is a, ooh. It just so happens that I travel in those circles, you know?
Oh, you travel in those circles, huh? No, Miss Graves, she's a writer, and, oh, yeah. I'll bet you're down there I bet you get down, don't you? Is that what you do?
What do you mean, get down?
Talk about being, like, dancing and stuff?
You're talking about dancing?
No, I'm not talking about dancing. I think she hangs out there at the clubs, or wherever the hell they play this.
So I get down.
You get down and you get... I don't know what you do. I'm trying to be polite.
Well, I mean, don't talk about getting down. But she got with it, you know.
She gets with it. You know, I just want to say that don't you get down, because I don't know what I'm... She may be getting down on something that, frankly, is I wouldn't be a gentleman.
No, General, it's got nothing to do with that.
All right.
Get down? Nobody even says get down anymore.
Oh, all right. See, these are things I don't know.
Daddy, don't say get down. Say, you know, that's sick and everything like that.
Well, see, it's sick. See, that's a bad jam, you know. Well, I don't know any of these things. But Margaret was, you know, talking about the hip hop.
Yeah. Okay. So are we clear?
I had no problem with it.
I was interested in the band that was in the movie, and I wondered if Margaret had been over at that club and got on
what?
You, I think you know what I mean.
Why, you filthy...
Hey, watch it. I think you know it. Did you go to the club or did you get on it?
Hey, General, that's kind of rude. Why are you,
I don't know, I'm in a bad mood. That whole thing before the show.
You mean me messing up the commercial?
Yeah, you took too much time.
Well, it was irritating, Phil. I mean, we were trying to get into the show. Phil, ladies and gentlemen, was trying to do two commercials. One of the...
Wait, do you mind if I tell the story?
Yes, I'd like to tell it.
Yeah, let Margaret talk, because she'll tell it good.
Oh, she'll tell it good.
Just never mind, bud. Phil was trying to do two commercials before the show, and carved the second one, which I think was...
Don't say which one.
Well, he carved it up and carved it in a manner that I don't think the sponsor would have been appreciative of. Let's put it this way. It was about food, and Phil let go... Well, excuse me, I let go...
Yeah, Margaret, well, she let go of the ripper.
How dare you call...
That was it. She let go of the ripper.
We're talking about a belch.
Yes, that's right, a belch. Oh, my God, were you talking about the other way?
No, I was not. I was just trying to...
So anyway, Margaret let go with a belch. I laughed. I kept going with the commercial.
Yes, and Phil kept going with the commercial. He thought it would work fine, and then afterwards he realized he couldn't do that. So we had to do all this editing, and we wasted all this time.
Yeah, we're way behind schedule right now, Mr. Henry. Look over at the thing, and yeah, okay, yeah, 4 minutes in.
What difference does it make, man? I mean, we're 4 minutes in. We're going to be on schedule. Good Lord. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Well, you're the guy that's always wanting to keep time around here. God almighty. Phil checks that clock like he's checking his...
Yeah?
Check that clock and check your shorts.
Yeah, you're checking that clock like you're checking and rechecking your shorts.
What does that mean, man?
Oh, would you grow up?
You know what it means.
Anywho... It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. There's a really cute story out, and I don't know if we were going to... Who do we got on the show today, bud?
I've got Jeff Dowder. He's going to talk about a phone. And, oh, yeah, I think we have Steve Bozell, who's going to talk about engineers. And then we got to have Jeff Dowder. And
you mentioned him twice.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay, Jeff Dowder and then Vernon Dozier.
Oh, yeah. Vernon Dozier is going to be talking with us, Coach Dozier, about this very interesting little piece of sound here from Israel. And do we not have it? Oh, you dirty, stinking...
Well, I didn't know. I wasn't aware.
What did you want? Oh, here it is. Yeah, this is an interesting piece of audio. Now, this is Nate Robinson, a former NBA player who has signed with an Israeli basketball club called Hapoel Tel Aviv. This is the professional league that they have in Israel. And I think they have a couple of divisions. Well, along comes some guy. This dude's ripped. And I'm not so sure that that makes for a great basketball player. But listen to what he says as Nate Robinson is giving an interview here with the local Israeli television station, and you can hear how this thing transpires here. Here we go.
I know how hard I play. I know how hard everything is.
What's up, Nate?
What's up, bro?
I want to play with you one-on-one.
When?
When do you want? If you have money, we play one-on-one.
When?
I beat Farmer, beat Ochayon, beat everybody in Maccabi.
That's Farmer, that's not
Ask
me.
Ask Raviv Limonad, who is Raz Nissim Cohen.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
We play one-on-one.
One-on-one.
You have a video, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you, bro.
That's an interview. That's an interview. It's awesome. It's the first time ever somebody's done that. Sick. So cool. Fans are great. How can you be mad at that?
Hey, kick your ass, baby.
How come he don't play?
I play in Division 2 and the next year I play in Division 1 and I kick your ass, baby.
Nice and fit young man right there, man.
That sounds like a challenge.
It does sound like a challenge. I'll bust his ass.
Yeah, that's the ultimate comment on that. That was Nate Robinson, Coach Dozier. Did you get a load of that?
Yeah, I heard the whole thing.
And what do you think?
Well, give me some context there.
Apparently, Coach, that was a young man that Nate Robinson was giving an interview there on Israeli television. And that young man rode up on a bicycle.
So he was not a part of the...
No, he wasn't part of the team or anything. Yes, he rode up on a bicycle and just... He saw Nate Robinson and said, hey, Nate, do you want to play? So he sort of ignored...
Yeah, he ignored the television cameras and everything.
All right, so he just come right after Nate Robinson. Well, I'll tell you, everybody thinks it's easy. And everyone thinks that you can just roll out of bed and go on out and play in the professional ranks. And I don't care what sport you're talking about. Football... basketball, Bob Ball. I just got out of bed myself. What am I trying to say? The one where they throw the ball.
Football?
No. I played football. The one they throw the ball.
Baseball?
Yeah, baseball. Sorry.
You're a little tired.
Yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry about it. I just was thinking about the one where they throw the ball to the guy. God.
Hey, are you all right, Coach?
I'm fine. Don't worry about it. We had a party last night, and the
last night.
Yeah, last night. My wife had a party, and her relatives came over, and we had a little bit too much fun, and so I'm a little kind of foggy. But here's the thing.
Did you ever have a fan come up to you and say, "Hey, I could take you one-on-one in football. I know you played football, which is not exactly a one-on-one sport."
We had guys say they'd tackle you defensively, like, because I played defensive back and I was a quarterback, so it was not, not necessarily a one-on-one sport. If I was a running back, it might make sense, but hey, these young guys come up and say, I bet you I can, defend your pass, I can catch any pass you got. I had a kid one day come up to me just like this, and he came out of the stands, and he had, maybe a $20 or $40 in his hand, and he says, throw that football as hard as you can, and I guarantee I'll catch. I got $40 that says that you can't throw it hard enough for me to drop it. And I said to him, well, look.
Was this at a game?
Yeah, this was after a game up in Canada.
This is a professional football game in Canada? The fan just came out of the stands?
Well, you got to understand something. Canada, things in those days are a little bit less formal, so... I said, you want me to throw the ball? He said, yeah. So he backed up about, 30 or 40 yards, and I fired it in there, and it knocked him to the ground, and I heard some whimpering, and I heard him roll over and groan, and it was not good. It turned out that what I had done is threw the football so hard he caught it right in the gut, which is what you're supposed to do, but it literally bruised the muscle and bruised the diaphragm. So he had a hard time breathing and all kinds of complications.
Was he all right?
Yeah, he was fine. But he got, I'll tell you right now, he messed his pants, you know. And
he messed his pants because you threw the football. Well, look, that's all. So you won the $40, huh?
Yeah, I took the $40, and I said to him, you know. And he said, well, look, you're a professional. Can I have my $40 back? I said, no, you may not. And I did that to teach him a lesson, because you don't just walk up to a pro, and especially you don't walk up to Vernon Dozier and say, hey, whatever you got, go ahead and, you know, I can take what you're going to give me. And the way he said that, it was almost jail-like. You know what I'm saying, Phil?
why would I know what you're saying?
Because of the people I'm talking to. All right, never mind.
What does that mean?
Yes, what does that mean? Jail-like?
Never mind.
Yeah, thank you very much, Coach. So, we're talking here with...
what I was saying was...
You're talking about... Oh, God, man! Talking about you're going to take what I'm going to give you.
I'm talking... All right, I'm sorry, Margaret.
Well, you know something? I don't like where this conversation's going, and if it continues in this direction, I will get up and I will walk from the room.
All right, well, I was going to say that... Well, I better not...
Don't say it, Margaret. We want you to stay here.
No, what were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything. I swear to Almighty God, I wasn't.
You weren't going to insult me.
I swear to God, no, I wasn't.
All right, have we got that out of our system? We have Coach Vernon Dozier with us. We're talking here about Nate Robinson, who was confronted by a basketball fan in Israel. And it was a friendly challenge, although that dude was serious, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're all serious.
Now, I want to ask you something, Coach. This kid who said, I'll throw the ball as hard as you can, and you threw the ball as hard as you could, right?
I did. I zinged it in there. I could throw it probably a little. I could probably put another 20% on it. So I didn't throw it as hard as I could, but I did. I threw it pretty hard, and this guy...
Was this dude fit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was fit. He looked more like a linebacker. He didn't look like a wide receiver or maybe a fullback. But I said, hey, you want it, you got it. I said, I tell you what, man, you know, what you want, you got. You know, when I get it, you get it. That's what I said.
I'm sorry to hear that. He said, when I get it, you get it.
When I get it, you get it.
All right.
And he said, go ahead, drill it in here. And I just reared back with my old... See, I don't have that quick release like a lot of these young quarterbacks have. But when you tell Vernon Dozier, go ahead and sail that thing in here, and I want to feel it like it just came out of a cannon, friend, you're going to get it that way. And there's absolutely no, two ways about it.
All right, so let's get back to this man that... was teamed up against this man that challenged Nate Robinson. What do you think of that kind of thing from a professional player? Should they even be involved in something like that? Can't they get injured?
Yeah, I tell my players when I was coaching pro ball, I would tell them, I said, look, anything off season, any kind of extracurricular stuff, you guys have got to be responsible. You cannot just go out there. And we had guys doing a dune buggy thing, and this kid Robinson, who plays the don't tell me, okay? Don't tell me. He plays the ball that goes up and down.
Yeah, basketball.
That's it, basketball. This kid Robinson.
I can't believe you couldn't remember that, huh? Now, are you all right, Coach?
Hey, don't ask me if I'm all right.
All right. So you're hungover or something?
No, I'm not hungover. It's not a. We partied last night, but it's not from alcohol. It's, and no, I didn't do anything. It was I'm still sort of seeing some things, and I don't want to get into it, okay? I just don't want to. I'm telling you, I promised you I'd be on the interview here. And
oh, are you talking about?
I don't want to get into it.
All right. So, anyway, he's playing basketball.
Yeah, he was playing basketball. Who was that?
Nate Robinson.
Nate Robinson, yeah. When that guy comes up to him and says, I'll challenge you, and he says, sure, I'll play one-on-one. I would say to him, don't do that, man, because if you sprain an ankle, if you get hurt, because these guys that want to go one-on-one on the playground with you, they're dead serious. This is like the NBA Finals for them. And you're just out there having some fun shooting some hoops. And you're going to take on some guy who wants to prove what some, you know, big-time, big-shot, you know, man he is, and you're going to wind up, you know, getting hurt. So I've told countless players that, and it never fails to amaze me how often Phil they will go against that advice.
Talking to Coach Vernon Dozier here, and we're discussing kind of a charming little clip of a video that we showed of Nate Robinson, the former NBA player, who's now playing pro ball in Israel, and he was challenged by a fan who just happened to see him sitting there on a bench doing this interview and came right up to him. You could see that Nate had a little bit of fear in his eyes.
Yeah, well, I mean, he didn't know what this guy was going to do.
Yeah, they ought to have security and everything, you know, of what's going on nowadays.
Well, I'm sure they did, but You know, it's a kickback situation there. Maybe things aren't quite as dangerous that way in Israel as it may be here. But he did challenge him, and I have no idea what happened.
All right, so you didn't see...
No, we didn't see what happened there.
Yeah, well, you try to make the fan happy. One of the things you want to do is make him happy, and at the same time, you don't want to get injured. You know, I had a... Bill Cullen had his son... said, come on, let's go out and we play one-on-one football. Now, if a kid thinks that he's something special, you got to bring him back down to earth because I was a professional football player. I didn't play at the highest level of football. I played in Canada. I'll give you that. But no one comes up to Vernon Dozier and says, go ahead and see if you can run over me and not think that I'm going to, you know, want to hurt you, and
this is a challenge, though, from a fan or a young person.
I understand that, but I don't. It doesn't matter to me, because if you say, "Hey, you know, like it's no big thing that you just challenged Vernon K. Dozier," I'll go over top of you. And this kid, who was at the time 15, but he looked like he was built like he was 25, and
this is a guy you knew.
Yeah, a guy by the name of Bill Cullen. And his son were out there, and I said, what did you say to me? He said, come on, old man, go ahead.
Oh, he called you the old man. Well, that'll piss you off. Yeah, that'd make me angry.
Yeah, well, that's what he did.
But you don't want to hurt the young man.
Well, no, I don't want to hurt the young man, Ms. Gregg.
You know, this is the kind of macho stuff that you fathers get involved in. But as a mother, you don't want to see your son standing there and suddenly get run over by some big, burly, large... Were you fat then?
What do you mean, was I fat then?
I'm sorry, were you... You're a little bit bigger now.
I was built. I was ripped. Okay?
I don't know what that means.
It means I had guns, I had calves.
All right, well, you were a professional player at the time.
That's right. So I had arms, I had the calves, the thighs. I had a washboard stomach. I had pecs. And if you ever saw Lou Ferrigno...
What are you laughing at?
I'm not laughing. I'm thinking back on those wonderful days.
You look like Lou Ferrigno?
You look like Lou Ferrigno? Yes, I did. I was built like Lou Ferrigno.
And you were a quarterback.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, that doesn't seem like you gave him a whole lot of flexibility there to throw the football.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, General. I didn't know that while you were in Vietnam, you also were playing professional football. And
no, I wasn't. I'm just saying. It's a legitimate observation. If you've got those big arms, can you throw the ball?
Yeah, you can throw the ball. You can throw that ball to the moon. Yeah, I could put that thing in orbit. So when this kid came up to me and said, hey, why don't you go ahead and try to run over top of me? That's exactly what I did. I ran right over top of him, and I remember, and I was wearing metal cleats, and I'm not proud of this, but he asked for it, and I told him, when I get it, you'll get it. And I had on metal cleats, and the last step I remember taking before I hit nothing but grass was a little give in the left cleat. I looked down right in his face.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know.
Well, was he hurt?
What do you think, man?
Oh, my God. Well, that could be very dangerous, taking a cleat to the face.
Got that right.
Well, how badly was he hurt?
Oh, he got a few stitches. It didn't touch anything vital. But he got his face punctured in, and I said, God, you know, I remember saying to him, I said, jeez, man, you look like somebody set fire to your face and put it out with a track shoe. You know.
Okay, Coach, I can tell you're having fun today.
No, I'm not having fun. I hate this. I hate doing... what is this I'm doing?
A show. A show.
All right, okay. No, but seriously, Phil, when I was back doing the game... Now, here I go again. What was it again? When I was taking that ball that shaped funny...
Football!
Yeah, when I was playing football...
You know, this isn't funny anymore. Don't sound like you might be having a stroke.
I'm not having a stroke, okay? Last night...
You know, this, I don't think I'm going to want to hear this.
All right, well, I won't tell you.
No, I got to know now.
We ate peyote.
Okay, Coach, and you're a teacher.
I guess, but...
All right, we'll see you later, Coach.
I'll wait.
Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and we'll be right back. Kind of funny, strange, how the times have changed. I wish we could go and be free once. Baby, you and me, we could change the world forever. Proctor Chevrolet has a new location. Proctor Chevrolet, now moving from downtown into Billingsley. Proctor Chevrolet with a new location will be able to accommodate more cars, more people, more salespeople, will have bigger candy machines, and more hot dog festivities at Proctor Chevrolet than ever before. And come on in and see our 2016 Chevrolets. You won't believe your eyes. We hope you like what you see, but in some instances, it might frighten you. And why is that? I'll be very perfectly frank with you. We aren't really ready to be doing business, but I've got to get things going if we're to make our number here at the end of the year. Proctor Chevrolet in Billingsley. We've moved from downtown to the new Proctor Chevrolet Confab. This is a fabricated building that, what do you want from me, you know? Proctor Chevrolet. We're using a bounce house and a prefab shed and shelter so we can sell cars. Proctor Chevrolet, downtown and Billingsley. Come on and see me. Ab Proctor. Proctor Chevrolet. I'm sorry, my name's Ab Proctor. Chevrolet. You don't have to cry. Yeah, I figured as much. Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Phil, I was just joking around with that. And
you were joking around.
I was joking around.
Can we kill the music?
Yeah, I can't hear it. I was kidding around. I didn't do that.
Well, what are you doing on the show here this morning? Are you really having a hard time remembering things?
Yes, I am. But that's because we did party, and we partied last night. My wife's relatives were in town, and my brother came in. But
you were not doing illicit chemicals.
No, I was not, I can assure you. We were...
Were you drinking?
No, we were not drinking. This is what I'm trying to tell you.
Well, then why would you say you were doing illicit chemicals?
I didn't say illicit chemicals. I said peyote, and I was kidding about that. Kidding.
All right, so what were you partying doing?
I can't really tell you, you know.
You weren't drinking. You weren't using any drugs.
No, I'm a teacher, for God's sake. I got to risk my job, my career.
But you're hungover.
Yes, all of us together are hungover.
And who would that be?
My wife, my in-laws, everyone. We're hungover. It was one hell of a time.
Well, can you give us a hint as to what it was you were doing?
We were...
Well, look, you don't have to tell us if you don't want to. We're just concerned that you're not remembering things, and...
Like myself, maybe had a stroke.
That was the thing that I was worried about.
I'm not having a stroke, okay?
Then what...
If I tell you, then I'll probably run the risk of losing my job again. Not again, but...
Well, whatever you did... Was it illegal?
No, it was not illegal.
But you could run the risk of losing your job.
Yes.
Well, what? Either you're going to tell us, Coach, or you're not.
I can't. I can't do it. It wasn't illegal at all, but I could lose my job.
Well, then it must be on the level of...
Phil, you know, you're talking to me about losing my memory, and you're going, under there. Because we had a kid last week, a brand new kid that came in. He transferred in from Ogilvy. And this poor boy, who is brilliant, absolutely brilliant, he's one of the best students I've got, remembers things. I talked to Chad Hutchins, who does the trigonometry and geometry, and this kid is... But he walks around doing that, going, da, 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 like that. And I said, I don't want any of you kids to be bothering this child, because he's fantastic. And all the kids are, yes, sir, Mr. Dozier. And off went. The kid's name is not Corky. I wanted to call him Corky.
Goodbye.
Come on, Phil. We'll
be right back.
Getting closer, closer. Let's combine all of us, okay?
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show. How long it'll be world famous is anybody's guess.
Look back at it.
Because I'm telling you, this is irritating the hell out of me.
I want to recap on this. It was not illegal.
Who knows if he's telling the truth? World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Hey, this is Bob Roscoe, Roscoe Surf Shop. We're at the Goose Step, right at the corner there of Hadley, near the Breakers. And I'll tell you, this is the year for us. We're bringing in all the great new products. We've got a lot of beautiful, beautiful Japanese models, and as well as some of the good stuff from the European continent. And for those of you that are into the sailboards, have those. Got the boogie board, body board, and the wakeboard, too. Some of the best sticks around right here at Roscoe's Surf Shop. Again, we're in the blind right next to Hoodley's and the Gibbon spot. And I'll tell you, here's Jimmy to tell you more.
Come on down to Roscoe's, and I'll tell you, we've got a lot of customers that are coming in and...
Showing them how it's done, huh?
Yeah, show them how it's done. So go to Roscoe's Surf at the Bear, and we're right there at the Bear. Yeah, the place they call the Bear Ass. And I guess that's just how it is around here, yeah. Come on down to Roscoe's. Yeah, Roscoe's.
Trees and folk, we just like the sand.
Almighty Margaret, you're blowing my eardrums clean out.
It's pretty. It's is that Drake?
Let's look and see if it's Drake or not. It's Kendrick Lamar. It's called Untitled Track 2, 106.
Oh, I know this track. Yeah, this is from his new album called Untitled and Unmastered. And
what is that supposed to mean?
Well, it's the new, you know, he decided not to, so it's probably just all...
Basically, it's named after the rough tracks that the engineers... You know, the track listings is what it is, so... Phil Hendry Show...
I don't know what that means.
Well, sorry to break the news to you. What is going on with Dozier? I don't understand that.
I got on the phone with him. I said, what's going on? And he said, hey, we had a party last night. I said, I don't know that. I said, what's going on? He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, we want to find out. Are you hungover? You're not having a stroke? He goes, no. He says he's hungover, but he can't tell us from what. Because he would lose his job. And then... Something else happened.
What is all this jazz about? What's the sport that they bounce the ball up and down and the sport they throw the ball to me?
I think I've never known Coach Dozier as being some kind of a kibitzer, you know, as one who would like to kibitz, you know, General?
Yes, I know.
Well, what's with you?
What do you mean kibitz? That's a bridge term, folks, in case you don't know.
Everyone knows the term kibitz. But I think, here's this Asian girl. She's very pretty.
Margaret, can we stay on the...
She's a very pretty girl, but the eyes are too big.
What? She's Asian. Isn't that good to have a big eye?
Why, you love...
Hey, come on, will you?
No! Man, that's racist. What are you talking about?
Hey, bud.
What?
She's Asian. Isn't that cool to have a big eye?
Yeah, first of all, there's two eyes. You know that.
In what?
In Mississippi. In the girl's head.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, Everybody, well, forget it.
Just me, Bud and I watched that movie the other night.
What movie?
Sayonara.
What? No, what's that, Missouri?
You know Sayonara, don't you?
Oh my God, Sayonara, the beautiful... With Marlon Brando, Red Buttons... Red Buttons.
That was the guy's name.
Red Buttons?
Yeah.
He was a great actor, don't get smart with me.
All right.
And let me see, James Garner.
Right. And remember the scene where the girl, she wanted to make her American man proud of her, and she was going to get her eyes widened.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's why that's not funny, bud.
I'm sorry.
You know?
They talk about somebody had
Let me just say something to you. There was a time after World War II, for instance, a lot of the Asian girls wanted to look like Europeans. They wanted to look American. They thought that that's what they had to do. They thought that, Japan was on the outs and they didn't want to look like their culture anymore and they were going to reject everything. And they would have, some of them would have these surgery to widen their eyes. It was absolutely despicable and it was deforming.
Well, did it actually deform them?
Yeah, I think it did. If it changed their eyes from the natural, beautiful shape of their eyes to something that they thought would be acceptable, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a... Get a job, you know? Yeah, if you want to get a job in America after World War II is all I'm saying, that you got to have eyes that can see really good instead of looking through a slit. You know?
That does it.
Hey, wait! Hey!
Go of his leg, General.
I'll rip it off. You start with that stuff with me, kid, and I'm telling you right now, you'll never see the end of it. I'll send you on a one-way ticket to hell. Well, maybe a round-trip ticket this time. Then...
That's fine, thank you.
Yeah.
God, man, I almost tore my leg clean off.
Bud, you're an idiot, and everyone knows that you're an idiot. That goes without saying. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah.
All right. When you start getting down the racial road...
Yeah, man, you know what? I'm your friend, man, and I should have kicked your ass a long time ago.
But you know what you're doing, bud. You're like a lot of those racists who... I didn't know I was doing anything wrong, and you think you get away with it that way.
I didn't do anything...
Yeah, you did. Okay? What they can't see through the slit, and they gotta have the eyes widened.
What about that one time that guy said,
look at Jackman, don't push your luck.
That guy said that the reason why the Japanese pilots wasn't no good is they couldn't see out of the side of the slits.
All right, okay.
What? I swear to God!
That's bullshit. Excuse my French.
Are you telling me you bought that?
That's what a guy said.
Well, the guy you were talking to was an idiot. You understand? An idiot? As in, stupid? Oh, God.
Damn, son. No, Bud, I talk to you that all the time, man.
You know, Bud, you're like, you represent a lot of these people. You don't think you're a racist. Well, yeah, you are, but you think it's cute. And you don't get how everybody's on freaking pins and needles about this stuff, man. Don't you get it, man? There's people that are ready to rip somebody's head off. I mean, there's cats now, like black folks, are ready to tear your head off. And,
And a lot of white people, too.
White people, what? Let me ask you a question. When do white people ever, when have we ever suffered any insult having to do with our race?
Well, there's a lot of black people will do that.
Yeah, but no, I'm saying historically, when was the white race ever looked upon as being looking like monkeys and ugly and this and that? And it's never, you know.
Well, there is that old wives' tale that says that white people. Now, Robert, isn't it true that white people smell like wet dogs?
Well, some people think white people smell like wet dogs in the rain.
Wet dogs in the... What the hell?
Yes, you see, so there are those different...
You're missing the point. The point I'm trying to make here is, white folks, there's no history of our race having been so subjugated and so insulted and so deprived and depraved that we, we're insulted daily because of our looks and the color of our skin. It just isn't in the history of the white race. So every time I see these people, and you're one of them, Bud, saying, well, you know, what about white genocide? It's dishonest. It makes me want to kill and just keep these people away from me.
Oh, no, Phil.
No, just keep them away from me, I'm telling you.
Well, everyone is really on edge because of a lot of the things that are happening here. But I do know that we have... did you want to talk to Steve Bozell about this? Because this is the anniversary, or this year was the anniversary of the Challenger. And the Challenger, what?
What happened to traffic?
Yeah, I got Bob Bickey and stand by with the traffic right now.
All right, well, let's get traffic, and then we'll have Stephen Bozell, who has more on the Challenger and the aftermath of that. Bob, how's the traffic?
Hey, Phil, right now we got the 15 freeway out here, and I'll tell you, if you're making your way to the Lionel's Den, you got to bounce down to the Lion's Den, and you had to have a bowel movement out there, Bob, try that. We'll see what you can do up the 14 freeway. Go to the 5 freeway, go to town, and you're going out to town, you got his lion's den. So you got your pants down, pull it up, and zip it up, too. Right up the sky, boy.
Hey, Bob, I got a problem. You got to get a girl out of the hula hand. And I have a tour here, Mom, on St. Patrick's Day, Mom, right? On 15th Day, right now, Mom, see? And I'm going to run to my mom. I got a boy in Scotty this weekend. And I got my dog, what the hell? I got to go to the web. Oh, yeah? I got to go to the web, and I'm...
Donald,
I'm going to go to the web. I'm going to go to the
web. Oh, shut up. Hey.
To get my dashiki out, man?
I wouldn't think so, because this is Macklemore.
You get a dashiki out for white guys.
Hey, watch it. Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California Construction Contractor is going to be joining us right now. It was, 30 years? I can't believe it's been 30 years, man, since the... Challenger, had the terrible accident of the Challenger. And 30 years on, one of the engineers that was supposedly very vocal about what could happen with the Challenger. In fact, I just read that he was blaming himself. Steve, you there?
I am here, Phil, and I just want to say hello to everybody. And I've got a rare day off here, so we're in the mall. With April and April Jr., and we have a rare day off, so I thought we'd go over here to Toy Town, and we're going to get ourselves a chocolate milkshake.
That sounds great. So we're talking here about Bob Ebeling, right, who was the Challenger engineer who forewarned of the shuttle disaster, right?
Yeah, but just before, I just want everyone to know that I'm with my wife, April, and we're going to go get a chocolate milkshake.
Why are you saying that?
Yeah. Because I want... a certain person to know that I am married. I think you know where I'm going with this.
Do you got a lady that's like interested in you?
Is there a woman stalking you?
No, not stalking me, but I just want her to know that I'm out. I'm having a chocolate milkshake. And my wife is. I mean, I'm having my wife and I and my children are having a chocolate milkshake, and we're going to go over to Toy Town in about here 20 minutes, just as soon as we finish the burgers.
Okay, are you capable of...
I'm fine, Phil.
All right. For three decades, retired NASA engineer Bob Ebeling blamed himself, this poor guy, for being unable to stop the 1986 launch of Space Shuttle Challenger. He had warned that the shuttle might explode, and it did shortly after liftoff, killing 7 crew members.
My God, I've never heard this story.
Yeah, I'd heard tale of it, yeah.
Well, in the final weeks of his life, however, thanks to an outpouring of support following a National Public Radio story in January on the 30th of this disaster, Ebeling finally found peace. It was as if he got permission from the world. Ebeling's daughter, Leslie Ebeling, Cerna, told NPR on Monday he was able to let part of his life go.
It's a very tough tale. I think he was in Bingham City, Utah. It had a prostate cancer, and it was a very inspiring story for me and any of those of us who've done or been involved in any kind of an industrial accident where you feel like, I wish there was something more I could do, and you just didn't.
Wait, was this something that ever happened to you? Steve, I know you're a construction contractor.
Well, in my own way and in my own sweet, I used to say, in fact, I had a banner on the wall of my office, that in my own sweet way, in my own sweet time. And people would ask me, what does that mean? I said, it means I'll get around to finding closure in my own sweet way and in my own sweet time. I need to mention, Phil, that I am having a chocolate milkshake.
Is this woman listening to the show right now?
There is every possibility that she is. And if she is, I've got to be ready to... you know, to deal with it. So I want her to know that you know, in my own sweet way.
Yeah, okay.
We'll protect you, Steve. Don't worry.
We will. I just don't know about my own sweet way.
That is my saying. I live by that, in my own sweet way, in my own sweet time.
In your own sweet... I'm having a hard time breathing today.
No, you're laughing. I know that. Okay, Mr. Henry?
But no, I'm not laughing.
Well, you're loaded for bear today. Yeah, what's going on with you anyway?
I heard Mr. Henry laughing before the show, doing a commercial. I heard him laugh in my own sweet way, in my own sweet time, Mr. Henry.
Okay, in your own sweet way and in your own sweet time, you'll deal with some woman who's stalking you and who wants you to date her?
I don't know what she wants from me, but she's was hanging around my desk at work. I mean, okay, now she works for me.
So you met her at work?
No, I did not meet her at work. I met her on... God. Yeah, honey, I'll be... See, this is the problem that I'm having, Mr. Henry.
Well, you brought it up, and now we got to talk about it, or let's just can it, and let's just move on.
Yeah, that's the best thing. Well, you know, if you want to talk about it later or something.
I'm with Mr. Henry, with Phil Henry, on a Phil Henry show. Yeah, my wife, April. And we'll get, have you had a milkshake? We're going to go get a chocolate milkshake, and then we're going to go to Toy Town.
That's great. Sounds like a great afternoon.
But what I wanted to say was that this man, Mr. Ebeling, he warned the space agency that cold temperatures predicted at the time of the launch could prove disastrous, and the warning was ignored. The night before the launch, Mr. Ebeling reportedly told his wife, Darlene, it's going to blow up. He told another daughter, Kathy Ebeling, that he had toyed with the idea of bringing his hunting rifle to work to threaten NASA not to launch. And, I'll tell you, the next day, he watched in horror as the shuttle disintegrated.
Now, wait, hold on for a minute. Back up. He thought about bringing his hunting rifle.
Yeah, he was going to threaten people not to launch it.
Well, what the hell? If he felt that strongly about it, why didn't he reach out to a higher-up or something?
Mr. Henry, I don't know if you've ever seen... I mean, in my life, let me tell you about me, and let me tell you about what happened to me. I was... And this is nothing close to what this man had to endure, but I had been out with my crew... And this is way back when I first started out, and we'd been drinking, we'd been eating and everything, and I got into the bed of the pickup truck of my buddy. Now, you weren't supposed to ride around sitting in the bed of a pickup truck, but I did. As we were heading back to the office, I had a bad stomach gas, and as you might imagine, I had to relieve the gas. And the sliding glass window between the cab of the truck and the cab itself, where my friend Jerry Erswine was sitting, and Lon Williams, I think, was in there. It might have been Dean Williams, one of the two brothers. But the sliding window was open, and I released this gas.
You know, this is very childish.
All right, then.
No, but tell me what happened.
This sounds extremely childish.
Is it childish? Because the man wrecked the truck, okay, and had a concussion. Now, it was nowhere near what happened to this at this particular time there with the Challenger.
This guy wrecked the truck. Why? Because you farted?
May I please hang up?
No, you may not. Well, it's what you're saying, isn't it?
No. No, sir, I'm not. Yes, I am, but I'm not putting it in the juvenile term.
Well, I'm glad the general did, Mr. Bozell, because what you're talking about here does sound juvenile.
All right, when we wrecked the truck and he had a concussion, does that sound juvenile?
No, it does not. So are you telling me what? You released some gas because your stomach, you needed to.
That's correct. And it was not good, and the smell of it hit the cab. And I was told later by Lon that it did cause a blackout, very briefly.
What do you think?
Ace bullshit.
Watch your language, will you?
Oh, that, you know, that insults me and every swinging.
What do you want to do?
I think you're being played for a sucker on this show today. And
I don't know. That's Steve Bozell. And that's a man that one might imagine is...
What are you doing, Margaret?
Just doing my nails.
What is it with everybody here?
I'm on top of it.
No. All right. Get that guy back on the phone and...
Well, you hung up on him.
Call him back. And then I want to talk to... Who's the other? I want to talk to Coach Dozier, okay?
Yeah.
And then I think that's about right for now. Okay, we're going to be right back here with Steve Bozell and Coach Dozier. World famous Phil Henry Show. Well, we're having a little bit of fun on social media right now. Head over to Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram and tell us your favorite quote from the show. Then you add hashtag World of Phil, and you could win a free swag bag. We'll send out 5 of these swag bags at the end of the month. We will draw from everybody who is hashtagging World of Phil with their favorite line from the show. You can do it on Twitter, you can do it on Instagram, or you can do it on Facebook. And we got some funny ones off of Twitter, as a matter of fact.
Well, you should go over and take a look at those.
Well, let's see. Can we bring those up, bud?
Yeah.
We put out a meme on Instagram as well, and we got some good ones there. But this is our Twitter feed. I have no idea if we can do this right now. But if you're watching us on Phil TV and HD, oh, you know what? We have to log in. Well, I'm going to log in. If you're watching us on Phil TV and HD, you're also aware of the fact that we've had one. Holy hell. Who is this? Who's on stage here?
Well, that's Jenny Johnson, isn't
it? No, it isn't. Tonight's show sold out with Liza... I don't...
Who's that?
Liza Sadoka or Sadaka or Neil Sadaka?
Yeah, Neil Sadaka.
Right. Get out of here, will you? So she sold out in the main room.
Now, you're going to be at the... What was I doing?
We're looking for these...
Forget about the tweets, the World of Phil. We can read those later.
Right. When is your... you're doing another show at the Hollywood Improv.
Yeah, we're doing a show April the 1st in the lab. And it'll be another Phil Henry and Friends show, so it'll be a lot of fun. Who we'll have on the show right now, I'm not exactly sure. So, in any event, forget that, man. We're talking about...
Yeah, but going... we're having some fun on social media.
Right, so go over there to either Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and tweet it out, baby, on hashtag at World of Phil, your favorite show.
Lines in face to black, 'cause I can't wait while you think this through. We don't have endless time. Remember who laughs to, 'cause I won't wait for you.
All right.
I like that. What is the name of that group?
All That Remains.
All That Remains. I mean, they got some real screwy names.
Right now, I got Coach Vernon Dozier and Stephen Bozell. Coach Dozier, have you met Steve Bozell?
I do not believe.
How you doing, Coach?
I'm very good, Mr. Bozell. How are you?
I'm fine.
All right. You know, and I've said that I suspect both of you guys of...
You think... I can't speak for Mr. Bozell.
I cannot speak for Mr. Dozier, but I'm...
I suspect both. First of all, let's talk about you, Vernon. Yet something happened at your house last night. You can't tell us.
I didn't say something happened at my house. What I said was...
Yes, you did.
No, I said we partied last night, and I can't tell you what we did. All right? I can't do it. And I just can't do it.
Oh, what the hell is the problem, for crying out loud?
Because I could lose my job, but it was something that could give you a hangover. Let me put it to you this way. It can give you a little bit of an emotional hangover, and how do I put it? It might burn a little bit.
Oh, my God.
With your wife's family?
Did you ask me what I was doing?
With your wife's family.
Not the guys, I mean...
Okay, Vernon, you're excused.
Thank you. Man, you won't believe it. I was talking to a guy over...
Did you hang up on him? Yes, I did. All right, so, Mr. Bozell?
I don't know anything about what he was saying. I don't know anything about what he was saying.
No, I'm just going to ask you. You're telling me that you cut a fart, it went into the cab of a truck, the guys blacked out and they hit a tree, and the guy had a concussion.
That is exactly correct.
And you're telling me the truth?
I'm telling you the truth to the best of my recollection, because you didn't let me get this part out. But when I read the story of the Challenger, and I thought back over the course of my life, was there any time that I tried to warn people? Because, you know, I wanted to see if maybe I could get in on... I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm like the Challenger. I'm not saying that at all, but I wanted to see if I could get in on...
You want to get in on what? Some of this hero worship?
No, not at all, no. But maybe I got a story to tell. You know, maybe I got some things I want to say. Everybody asking everybody else about the things they do. And so I thought about that one time.
You thought about the time you cut a fart in the bed of a truck and it blacked out a guy?
It blacked a guy out, but I mean, I thought about how it careened. But you asked me, and I don't know, because I also had a moment of blackoutedness, sir.
You went unconscious.
What?
You went unconscious.
You went unconscious.
Yeah, that's right. And
oh, I see. All right. Well,
Mr. Henry, I swear on my children's lives that that happened. It happened a long time ago. I was 22 or 31.
22 or 31.
I don't remember, but it did happen. I swear to God it did happen.
Because, you know, there's all these people that a lot of times when they see somebody else getting a lot of attention, they want to get attention for themselves.
And you're trying to say that's what I'm doing?
Yeah, well, I'm saying that's what you're doing. Phil may be giving you a break here. That's what I think you're doing.
Wow.
Well, Steve.
I mean, wow.
Steve, you know, you can't just come on the program here with some cockamamie story like that.
Wow.
With some... Oh, would you knock it off?
Steve, don't do that.
With some cockamamie story like that. We're talking about something serious, and you come on with this story about when you were working in construction and you cut a fart and it made some guy black out.
Whoa.
See you later, Steve.
Whoa.
You're having fun, aren't you?
No. But I'd rather be I tell you what. What the hell is this song? You know, we got to get out of this show, man. That's all there is to it. It's the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. God damn.
Yeah, man.
It's been a very, very tough show. It's been a tough day. It's been, I don't know what else you could say about it other than let's just boogie on, man, with the canned heat, you know?
That sounds good to me.
I don't even know if we got all the business taken care of today, did we?
Yeah, we did. The viral, and don't forget to hashtag the world of Phil.
Well, I think you did a good job, Phil, considering all of the terrible news.
All right, then why you give me a hard time?
Because I don't buy all the horse dung that you're shoveling here today. I'm Margaret Gray.
Hey. Yeah, fine. World famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry. Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved. Podcast One. Yay!
God, I swear to Almighty God.